Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. So I'm praying about it, and I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And he just kept reminding me of a series that I had done 3 years ago amid some very difficult times, personally, as a church, corporately. And he said, I want you to go back to that, and I want you to minister it out again, and I'm going to show you new things that you didn't see before. But never has there been a time in the history of mankind where the whole world needs this message, which is peace out. You remember that series, Peace Out? So I'm going to go back into the series, but I'm going to just kind of pull the messages that I feel the Holy Spirit is highlighting out of it. It was a very long series, but I want to start today with this message I've entitled Emission Control. Jesus, when he arrived on the scene, and we were, those of you who were here Friday night, you heard from Luke 2, go back and read it. I'm sure you've all read the story of Jesus' birth, but in Luke 2, the angels of the Lord, the angel announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds who were out in the field and said something as his birth is being announced. Glory to God in the highest. So in other words, gave God glory and praise. And then the next words out of the angel's mouth is peace on earth. Put peace on earth. Peace on earth, and then goodwill toward men. And so the coming of Christ was a declaration that the earth was once again going to have peace on it. Think about that. There hadn't been true peace on the earth or available peace until the peace, the Prince of Peace arrived here. Man. And I want to go deep today and bring you back up to where, you know, hopefully we can all just really stay connected because this message is going to take you somewhere. But as you all know, back on this word emission, vehicles, depending on what country you're in, have been regulated now for a few decades. And there's a reason for this regulation. It's because the vehicle, when it's running and it's in its operation mode, it begins to emit vapors, carbon monoxide, all these other things. It begins to emit. There were regulations passed to control what is being emitted from these vehicles. So we have to go get them smogged so that toxic fumes are not released into the atmosphere because toxic fumes are bad for biological systems. Toxic fumes are bad for human beings. Let's just say it like that. Toxic fumes are bad for trees and for forests and for, you know, this previous Garden of Eden that God created. And so the same way that we need to have our car smogged and checked to make sure that we're not, you know, emitting from our vehicle things that are going to destroy our atmosphere and our climate, I believe God is basically in some way saying, look, you need to check in. You need to get a heavenly smog check because you're the vehicle which I have chosen to travel through this earth right now to do things, all of that. But he began to talk to me about what is being emitted from his people, what is being emitted from those around us. And I, like I said, I began to write this, this series. And I got the term peace out. I kept hearing that, peace out, because I wanted a title for the series. Peace out, peace out. It became a slang term, and I think it's still being used. It's still popular. You know, some of these, they're They're there for a while and then they sort of fade out. But I began to think about what that phrase peace out means. And when God started highlighting it, heaven was highlighting the phrase peace out. I said, what does that mean? He said, I want my people to emit peace. My people should be emitting peace. When I arrived on the scene, it was so that peace would be on the earth and goodwill toward men. This word peace out in just cultural slang, it can be a lovely gesture. It can be a nice gesture, which means I'll see you later. Peace out. I gotta go. But if you really think about how it's being used for most people, it went from just being, I gotta go, to I can't take it anymore. I'm done. As Pastor Simone said, I'm done, done. Right? I'm over it. I'm out of here. I can't take it no more. I am out of here. Peace out. Even the way that's said, there's no peace in it. Can we agree? It's I'm stressed, and I got to peace out. I got to go. And somebody in that condition is trying to release peace on you when they're on their way out. They're not giving you peace. They're basically manifesting the stress that they're in. And God began to speak about to me about what we are emitting from our soul. So what we hold inside is what we're going to emit upon others. And we are connected. I'm going to reference Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, Switch Your Brain On, a little bit here in a moment. But she has become a real voice to this generation. She's an expert in neuroscience and the mind. And she talks about the matter of the brain and how it is highly affected. The matter is affected by the thought life or the soul. The soul is the part that science can't find. They can only measure the effect of the soul upon the matter. So in other words, God gave us this soul. He gave us this ability to think and to be like him, to have emotions. What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and emotion. So our soul, because of sin, was lost. Our soul was infused with darkness. Jesus came to die on the cross to save our soul. But in the process of saving our soul, he gives us his spirit. He makes us a brand new creation. He gives us a brand new spirit, one that's never existed before. And now we have a containing place for the Spirit of God to come into, the sovereign God, to help us now be sovereign over this area called the soul. Now stay with me. Within this soul, which God redeemed, he saved our soul. He wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But our soul is jacked up. Our soul needs to be renewed. Our soul needs Jesus. Our soul needs the Spirit of God. Our soul needs the Prince of Peace to begin to emit his person, his presence into our soul realm so that when we are around others, what we are emitting from our soul and our spirit is helpful and not harmful. Dr. Caroline Leaf talks about how that thoughts are things. They can actually measure thoughts. And that, you know, within a 5 to 15 foot radius, science can now measure what we call energy. Jesus calls it spirit. He says when you get around another believer, he said your spirit will bear witness one with another. But he also gave us the ability to discern the spirit of others. How many of you have heard this? They have bad energy. I'm not teaching New Age philosophy here. You know, you've heard it. Man, they just got bad energy. You know what that means? It doesn't necessarily mean they're demon-possessed. It means their soul's a mess, and they do not know how to appropriate the peace of God to subdue that darkness and that toxicity. And you get around them, because we're spirit, and we start to detect it, and it has an effect on us. It has been scientifically proven that those who do not control their thought life, and that you know, everybody's on, be positive, have positive energy, positive vibes, you know, get the good vibes. And when I get around them, I get a good vibe. You know what you're getting? You're getting a thought from their spirit. You're getting, the actual biophotons from their spirit that have been brought under the subjection of God, right? And there's a good, there's good spirit, there's good energy coming from that individual, and it's affecting you. Dr. Caroline Leaf talks about in her book about the law of entanglement. Jesus says we don't live to ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. We're all connected, right? The body of Christ, you're not the body, Betsy, you're part of it, but I can't be complete without you. And so we're all interconnected in this way. But she says, you know, in the book, it's scientifically proven that if she is having a war in her mind, she's hating on me in her head. She don't even have to say a word. How many of you have been around somebody, you know they're hating on you in their head? And you're like, what was that I just ran into? Why? They are not admitting peace. Why are y'all laughing? I told them, I'm not going to call you bobbleheads at the flea market, but, you know, that's how I feel sometimes, like a chihuahua in the windshield. You know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, I'm with you. I get it. We experience the emission of others. That's why we need emission control, especially in the area of toxic thoughts, unrestrained soul issues. And this is not to beat the bride up, it's to help her, because God arrived on the scene to emit peace upon the earth. He's counting on the church to emit peace upon the earth. If plants and people and everything that has life in it or a biological system is affected by what we emit, think about what the world would be like if the church got a hold of the true message of climate control. I'm not against climate control, but I think we're focusing more on what science can fix and, you know, just the recklessness of man, rather than getting down to the real nitty-gritty issue of what is going on here. We wouldn't be destroying our world and doing all these things if we as believers would get a hold of this true message and understand I am powerful. When I go in the grocery store, if I decide to guard my heart and to keep my gates closed to all of the drama and the fear and everything else that's going on in this world, I spend time with the Holy Spirit, because there's righteousness, joy, and peace. It's actually peace and joy. It's righteousness, and then the peace comes, right? And joy in the Holy Ghost. I can go out and I can be an emitter of peace and actually change the atmosphere rather than being affected by it. Listen, Christians should not be wilting in this hour. We should be flourishing in this hour because of what we contain on the inside and what we are able to emit to those around us. Now, it's a known medical fact that our cells and DNA use biophotons to store and communicate information. Now, I'm gonna get deeper. Come into my technical world with me for a minute. Technically speaking, a biophoton is an elementary particle of quantum light. Somebody say light. You don't even need to know what quantum is. You just need to know it's light. Of non-thermal origin in the visible and ultraviolet spectrum. And this light is emitted, stay with me, it is emitted from a biological system due to spirit metabolism within our cells, so that we're going all the way to the cellular level. When our thoughts and intentions are negative, it affects all living things, from unicellular organisms to human beings. The emission of light, somebody stay here. The emission of light, particles, biophotons, seems to be the mechanism through which an intention produces its effects. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He didn't do anything without starting with light. You know? So our thought, your thoughts, Rita, your thoughts and intentions, they operate as a highly coherent frequency capable of changing the molecular structure of the matter. Okay, first here, the brain. So it's changing the molecular structure, but also every living thing you're near. So your thoughts and intentions, what's going on in your head right now, which is probably good because you're listening to the Word of God. Hopefully you're still here. It is literally affecting Andrew because he's within a 5-foot radius of you. In Liliana, she's within 15 feet. Hannah, you're affecting Ryan. Ryan, you're affecting Mama Didi. Mama Mary Sherry, you're affecting Trevor back there. I'll just even skip a row. Think about who's within 15 feet of you and think about what you're doing to them when you come in and your head's in a bad space. I want to take you somewhere because right now, the media, those anchors can't come and stand next to us. But guess what? There's no distance in the spirit. And word has power. And it's coming through the airways. And it's coming into us. And then what are we doing? Like little demonic parrots just repeating the toxicity and the propaganda that's being spewed on us. And it's very difficult to gird up the loins of our mind, which is God's instruction to us, right? And understand that something else is happening at the cellular level. And it may take years for us to actually see the demonic results of what is happening to the biological systems that are walking around on the earth. But the church has the remedy. We have the peace of God. We have the light of God. They say the smallest particle in the universe that can be measured at all with the highest microscopes that man has created is a light particle. Well, duh. I'm going to take you to that and show you why it is. So we're more than atoms and molecules of which we are composed of. We're supernatural beings that emit, communicate, and are formed from light. Interestingly, God didn't develop man's flesh. Think about this. He didn't develop our flesh until after he said, "Let there be light." He knew that light was needed to create anything with a biological system. So the Word was first. That's Jesus. He's the Word. Watch this. In John 1, 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. And he was continually existing in the beginning, co-eternally with God. And all things were made, and came into existence through him. And without him, not even one thing was made that has come into being. In him," stay with me, "in him," Christ, "was life, and the power to bestow life, and the life was the light." And the life was the light of man. So I'm going to read this very slowly, and I want you to come in. I'm going to tie it all up real nice and neat. God created man. He created light, and then he created man from light. The Bible says, you know, he picked up the dust of the earth, but he created light first, and then he took the dirt. What did he do? He formed man, and then the light breathed light into the man. He breathed life. Right there it says, the life was the light of men. So what did he breathe into man? He breathed light, which is life. What happened? Sin threw us back into darkness. Sin darkened our mind. Man was so connected to God, he was going to walk through the Garden of Eden. He was going to have dominion over it. Everything was going to be easy. He wasn't going to toil, right? All he was going to do was love God and emit light, just emit peace. The trees would be beautiful. The Garden of Eden would be beautiful. The land was not cursed. Everything was great. What is he emitting? He's emitting the life and the light of God, the peace of God, right? That's climate control, if you ask me. So here we see that God, the light of the world, breathed light, life, into man, and he became a living soul. And we're going to go back and read this. Look at in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created. He created by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or a waste and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the primeval ocean that covered the unformed earth. And here's the Spirit of God. It says the Spirit of God was moving, he was hovering, he was brooding over the face of the waters. In other words, this chaos, this darkness, this all this stuff. He was brooding, and he's ready to start forming. And he says, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, it was pleasing, it was useful, and he affirmed it, and he sustained it, and God separated the light, distinguishing it from the darkness, and we know that's what he began with, right? So before man was even picked up and breathed into, he creates light first. Stay with me. God's original intent is that we would be bright lights in this world. I can't tell you how many people are telling me lately, Pastor Verna, there's a new glory on you. There's like your face is shining and like you're such a bright light. People say, how are you going through the dark night of the soul? I'm like, I'm staying in the light. I'm keeping my soul infused with the light. I don't have to pray for peace. I don't have to pray for peace. Peace lives right here. Jesus gave me the gift of peace, John 14:27. My peace I leave with you, I bequeath to you, not as the world gives, not as the chaos gives, not as the news gives, not as all the, you know, COVID-19, you know, parrots give. No, as I give you peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be chaotic. Don't let your heart be fearful. Come on, be courageous in this hour. I'm the light of the world. I'm the peace giver. I've put it inside of you. Don't let your brain, don't let your body, don't let your soul become intoxicated with everything else that is out there. Don't be a person that leaks toxicity on them. Dump it on him and leak the peace of God on them. Some of you are going to be around people. Some of you are not. You'll have virtual celebrations and all these things. But even on Zoom, I mean, you can be around somebody that can just vomit on you and just release all the toxicity that's in their soul. And guess what? You end up feeling horrible the rest of the day. We got to learn how to offload this stuff. Get rid of it in this hour. If we're going to come through this healthy. Listen, maybe the vaccine's good for you. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Research it. Do all the stuff that you can do. But I think the greatest thing that we can do as believers to vaccinate ourselves from the viruses without is to stop allowing viruses within. When we carry stress, anxiety, anger, hatred, we carry and emit more toxic darkness than the light of Christ, the Prince of Peace. We literally affect those around us and change them at the cellular level. I'm not condemned, but I'm convicted because I want to be good to you, Mama Mary. I want to bring the atmosphere of heaven when I'm around you, Andrew. You know, if I walk into your space, I don't want you to be like, what's wrong with her? You know, and I don't want you to leave feeling disturbed because we are around each other, right? And we can bring joy and we can bring life and we can bring all of these things, but it really depends on what we're emitting. Isaiah 9:6, which is our great Christmas verse. It's, for unto us a child shall be born, to us a son shall be given. This is talking about Jesus prophetically, years before he comes. And it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Think about Jesus, government. Not the government, all the governments of the world. He's telling First Service. Presidents come into their position, and if they're only there 4 years, many of them come in with black hair and they leave with white. It's not because they became a sage in 4 years and they're so wise that their hair just turned white. No, it's because they're stressed out. One person trying to deal with the government and, you know, it cracks them, it crushes them, it breaks them. And, you know, they go forward. But it's like you see the effect that a government system has upon an individual. And some of them are very young. I've seen presidents that were, you know, very young and their hair turned completely snow white. Have you seen that? Within a few years. But Jesus, he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So the light of the world breathed light into us. He's the Prince of Peace. In other words, he's a sovereign over peace. And he's talking to us right now. There's so many things we can focus on with regards to the peace of God. Look, there was a separation between us and God the Father. We were not aligned with him. We were at odds with him because of sin. Jesus came to reconcile us back to God. It says in the Word of God, he made peace between us and Father God. So there's peace between us. You need to settle that. Stop being mad at God. Stop being, you know, chaotic with God. Stop being a stressor and be more of a blesser. Right? He made peace with us, for us, with God. So we have peace. You need to settle that. The Prince of Peace came to dwell in our heart. Oh, God, give me more peace. That's saying, you know, like, give me Jesus again. Jesus doesn't come in and out. He's not like a revolving door. He's like, he came, he's staying. He's here. That's who he is. And it's right there. And you have the ability to appropriate that peace at any given time. But our soul, guess what our soul does? It gets angry, it slanders, it's malicious, it gossips, it gets all bothered. Look, people are doing stupid stuff all the time, and it hurts. Listen, but I have learned people can hurt my heart, and I still don't need to, I still cannot be harmful with my words. Right? And Peter talks about this. He says, cast all your cares. All, I like the word all. It's very inclusive. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. Where? On him. It doesn't say cast all your cares, all your worries, all your sicknesses, all your, you know, aches and pains and all your problems and all your worries on them. Believers, we got to act different. There are some people, I love them so much, but I'm like, I love me too. Somebody just laughed. It's okay to love you. First of all, don't do it to yourself. Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. I love myself enough. If I get around somebody who's vomiting and they have the scripture all backwards, cast all your cares, all your worries, all your concerns, all your anxieties on them. No. It says cast them all on him, not them. And so what I'll do is I may listen to a little bit of it for a minute, but I'm like, delete, 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 refuse, reject. I don't say it out loud, but I'm like, nope, not coming in, nope, nope, nope. And, you know, it's hard because as a pastor, you want to be concerned and caring and compassionate and all those things. I'll listen to it, but I have to decide what's mine to carry and what isn't. How many of you just met with somebody and there's like, and you're like, oh, God. And he's like, here's a little more. They've just backed the truck. Hang on. You know, it's just like, oh. And you're like, God. They admitted some things, but it wasn't light and it wasn't peaceful. And you left feeling more burdened and more broken and more stressed out than you were when you walked in the door. That's what the world does. They have no emission control. And just because it's happening doesn't mean it needs to be said. And as you grow up, you just go, well, I don't think I need to say that because I love other people, right? Right now, I'd rather just admit the peace of God. Let's talk about him. Here's the reason we can do that, because he cares about us. You know, many times I don't think consciously we go, well, I want attention and I want someone to comfort me and I want support and I want all this. So, you know, I think people subconsciously just do things because it's like someone will listen to them. Someone cares. Someone will show them affection. And Peter's right there just saying this. Look, stop looking for that in everyone else. There's a place to dump and it's not on them. It's on him. Why? Because he cares. He listens. He hears. It's not good for your biological system. It's not good for their biological system. It's not good for their matter. It's not good for their flesh. You know, and I'm not talking about the deeds of the flesh. I'm talking about their physical body. It's been proven by science. You can take a plant. Anybody seen this experiment where they took rice and then they just cussed at it for, I don't know, a month or something? They just cussed at the rice. They put it in a jar. They just cussed at it. Just told it what a horrible thing it was and just blah, blah, blah. And the rice turned yellow and it started getting fungus in it. Has anybody seen this? They took, it was out of the same bag of rice, took the to the other rice, put it in another jar, and he put it in the house, and he says, you're so beautiful. You're the best rice we've ever had. We love you so much. You're so precious. They talked to that rice like that. That rice was white, pristine, edible. How many of you want to eat that other one that's been cussed at all day, every day? And it's a true story. I mean, we are powerful. We are a biological system created from light, infused with peace. We have the gift, and what we emit, what we peace out or chaos out, is going to have an effect. There is a cause and effect, and it's hindering, helping, or harming. Healing, whatever. I could use all the H words. Think about that on a personal level. Ladies, you need to stop looking in the mirror and saying, oh my God, look at all them wrinkles. You just look so terrible. Oh Lord, there's more cellulite, you know, than ever before. You're such a tatty. You're so fluffy. You're so fluffy. Listen, stop it. Unless you think fluffy's a good thing. You know, if it's a epithet of love, then say you're fluffy. I don't, but just make sure it's loving. It's a good message. You need to stop tearing yourself down and start building yourself up. That's what Paul was, and I'm going to end this pretty soon, but Paul was like in prison in Philippians, and he's a, you know, he's the apostle. You get around some apostles today, and they don't talk like Paul. They're like, oh, my ministry's failing, man, and nobody's tithing, the church is empty. I don't know how we're going to keep the doors open. They're not even in prison, half beat to death, sitting in chains. And the letters they're writing to the church and the things they're saying to the church, it is not lifting people up. It's like casting fear. I don't even know if we're going to be here this time next year. I don't know how we're going to make. Read your Bible. Paul said, he's sitting there, things are horrible in his life. And you know what he's writing to the church? This is for God's glory. The suffering I'm going through is going to produce so many good things. And listen, set your mind on things above. Whatever's lovely, whatever's... He was basically telling them, don't sit there and talk about how bad things are for Paul. Yeah. There's good things happening right in the middle of this. Whatever's lovely, whatever's pure, whatever's praiseworthy, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of talking about, whatever is excellent. Come on, talk about these things. Think on these things. Use those biophotons that are affecting you at the cellular level to set your intention. Today, I'm not going to have chaos in my mind, right? Because as I do, eventually it's going to start to come out of my mouth. But even if I don't, my spirit's still emitting things. I don't want to walk in and somebody's go, oh, those are bad vibes. Be someone that others recognize. The Savior, the resting presence of the Prince of Peace in, upon, coming from you. Decide. Oh, do I have to be more holy? Do I have to do more spiritual disciplines? Listen, the greatest spiritual discipline I believe that you can do is taking charge of the only thing in the whole universe that you have control over. You don't have control over anything else, but you have been given control of your mind. And what you do with it is going to determine whether you win or whether you lose. When you do not decide that this is my responsibility, I say this is my project. You know, the devil is going to try to throw you all kinds of projects. And then there's the controllers, like, oh, my husband's my project. My kids are my project. Everybody's their project. They're just Holy Ghost Junior running around trying to fix everybody else's negativity and all of that. Listen, you can't do that. Only God can do that. Your number one responsibility is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you can't do that with your soul unless you know him. And you cannot do that unless you know how much he loves you. You got to get to that place where you're settled, right, with that. Now love yourself. Love yourself enough to stop being chaotic in your mind, being fearful in your mind, being all stressed out in your mind. Come on, love yourself enough. When you're around somebody else that is just like a garbage dump, love yourself enough to limit the amount of time and energy and airspace you give to that person. Pray for them, but teach them. I'm not a trash can. Okay? Love you so much, but let's change the subject and let's talk to the only one that can fix it. And you know what? Some people get mad and they'll leave, and that's probably a good thing. Let them go spew off somewhere else and just let them know we're not doing that here. What happens when you cannot get control of that is you start to lose. You lose relationships. You lose your health. You lose the ability to win in your relationships. You lose the ability to draw strength and support from other people that would really love to be around you and enjoy you. But here's the thing. When we get control of it, people want us near them. They enjoy being around us. We start to win in relationships. We start to win in our job. We start to win. Why? We win in our health. We win no matter what's going on out there because we've gotten into the spiritual realm where there's rest and there's strength. And we get to choose what we emit. We need to control the garbage and we need to emit the peace of God. That's why I named it Emission Control. And as I end today, and worship team, you can join me. The Lord came to Moses. It was a difficult time. Very difficult time. His people had seen the miracles in Egypt, and they were in bondage, and God had a plan to rescue them. A deliverer comes, right? He's always good. He's going to come in the middle of the chaos and all of that. God's always, that's who he is. Jesus is the deliverer. So he performs all these miracles and they get out. All of these people, masses of people. Man, I can only imagine what was going on in that whole situation. You're leaving your home. You pack up your babies. You take what you can. And listen, they even left with all the wealth. God made the Egyptians give them all their money, their jewels, their gold, everything. That was a prophetic promise. So they're not just leaving empty-handed. I mean, they're loaded down with all the goods. Woohoo! And all of a sudden, the enemy changes his mind, wants them back. How is that? That's just like it, right? We get out, God delivers us, now the enemy wants us back. So the enemy don't like letting go. So he comes, and he's chasing them. They've got the chariots and the horses. Enemies on the back. Red Sea's in the front. Big impossible situation. God, the miracle worker's with them. They haven't really learned to trust. God, they haven't walked with him a long time. They just got delivered. And this is what happens when we just got delivered. Woo, we're so excited. God bless us. We're getting out. This is awesome. But they had not learned how to trust God for manna and quail and all these other things through the wilderness and, all God sustaining them. They didn't know. They're kids. Lots of them. And now they see this problem and it's like, rah! And I'm not even going to go into everything they're saying, but they're complaining to Moses. They're probably telling their children, we're going to die. This is just a bad idea. And, it's like, God just cares and he says to Moses, hey, go tell them I'm going to fight their battles for them and they are to hold their... I'll paraphrase. Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Zip it. Have you ever tried it, even a holiday function, to get some of the more argumentative, the ones just haven't forgot what happened like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and if they haven't forgotten that, they'll go find somebody else's problems and talk about. Like, you don't even know these people. But they have to have the most sensational, toxic, current big bad story to tell, and they get you cornered and here it comes and you're looking at them like, I don't even know these people. I'll never meet them. I'll never spend time with them. And like, why is this being dumped on me? You know why? Because they have their doors open. They care about it. They got the gates and it's just like toxic here. You look like a good person to dump all this on. Back to the story. God tells them, shut up, remain at peace. I'm going to fight the battle for you. Remain at rest. Chill out. Peace out. Okay? I got you. What did he do? He parts the Red Sea, gets them through. You think they would learn? hold your peace. Let me get you out of it. He drowns in the enemy in the Red Sea, and they come into this area. Now it's hard. I don't like going camping without my trailer. They're out in the wilderness. Somebody just went like, what are they doing? Wah, wah, wah. Complain, complain, complain. Wah, wah, wah. They weren't peacing out. All they're doing is emitting, like, criticism, complaining. Man, the earth had to open up, swallowed some of them. God was just like, I can't take what you're emitting on the earth. You know how many times he told him, stop talking? Just like, come on, hold your peace. Because what you hold in here is going to affect everybody else in the camp anyways. Just let me take care of it. Some of you are getting what I'm throwing down. This is Christmas week. Should be the most glorious time in all of our lives. Where the peace on earth and the goodwill toward men that we were intended to carry would be released upon all of those around us. And many of us are tentative to be around certain individuals because we know they won't have it. But we can. I want you to say this. I will emit peace and remain at rest. I'm going to be more of a blesser than a stressor. I don't have to retain everything I hear. I can change the spiritual climate wherever I am. And I will, because I will emit peace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go and stand to your feet. God, we thank you for this word, this wonderful reminder of how powerful we are. We got a science lesson. We heard words we haven't heard since we were in math class and chemistry and all these other things, biophysics, whatever it was. We thank you, God, that you're right here at our level. You're never so far over our head that we can't understand the simple principles of your word. We thank you for breathing light and life into us. And as we go from this place, may we be light and peace, carriers and emitters for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to pray a quick prayer. You can't do this without Jesus. And so I'm not going to go and preach a 3-point sermon. I just want you to declare that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says if you do that, that the Prince of Peace, Jesus, will come into your heart. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll give you eternal life. And he will teach you everything you need to know about him. You're not receiving religion. You're not receiving some theology. You're receiving a person. And his name is Jesus. And he's the life giver. And I don't want you to go another day without the assurance in your heart that your heart has been given over to him. Because it's the most important decision you will ever make. You can't emit peace without it. So pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I declare that you are Lord. I ask you to come into my heart and fill me now with your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You guys have a merry, 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 merry Christmas. Enjoy your time with family. Be a blessing.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.